You have to know what contango and backwardation is in
Yes.
terms of futures. Contango, for those who don't know, contango is when futures are progressively higher. So let's say crude oil is at 80, August is at 82, then September is 84, and so on and so forth. That's called contango. So if it's contango, it's not a good idea to be invested in USO because there's always a pressure. I mean, natural gas cannot just get out of its own way. I mean, it's still cheap, and I don't understand why it is so cheap. So, again, contango and backwardation plays a role. Right now, there is contango. So on top of the chart, the green bars is XLE. That's a major ETF sector, energy sector ETF. It contains the biggest and the brightest companies. So ExxonMobil represents like a quarter, like 25%. And you got your Chevron and all those guys. Let's not forget the alternative energy and nuclear and uranium and things like that.
Yep.
So you want to have an exposure to that. And there's similar ones. My favorite one is MLR.
MLR?
NLR, yeah, Nancy.
Nancy.
London Roger, yeah.
What's going on, Dennis? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Andy? Good to see you as always.
Good to see you. So let's talk about energy, how to build an energy portfolio. About a week ago, we built a gold portfolio. I got a lot of great feedback on it, a lot of good emails and comments and likes on it. And so, yeah, but how do we start building an energy portfolio? Where does one even start?
Good. I mean, it's sort of similar to what we talked about regarding gold. I think energy is a place to be for different reasons. And reason number one is energy in general is undervalued by quite a bit.
Significantly, yeah.
Significantly, exactly. And these are not just the small cap energy stocks, but large caps as well. And most of them that I look at, I'd like to be invested in it. I mean, first of all, we look at crude oil, which is number one thing, I guess. It's trading close to 80. It's had a decent rally over the last several days. And when crude oil is trading above 60, most of the companies are making good money. So,
right.
And it's actually surprising. We discussed it several months ago. It's surprising that the street is still ignoring them. So, well, we know what's going on with the stock market. I mean, it's just the money flows into just several stocks, AI stocks, and they just suck in all the money, and it's not enough left to go to energy. But things always change, and I believe they're going to change soon, and energy is going to do great. So based on
I think so too. I think the second half is really going to do well for the energy stocks. So yes, if I had,
absolutely.
In fact, one sector, and I am betting on it. I would think going into the new year, the second half of this year, going into the new year, I think energy is going to outperform everything else. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Even if the stock market is, let's say, if it has a correction, you know, if it has a correction, takes everything down, I think even if that happens, energy equity is going to hold well or just ignore that sell-off at all. Yeah.
They're already so beaten up. So where does an investor start in making an energy portfolio?
I'm a proponent of ETFs. They're wonderful instruments. So let's start with crude oil, since let's assume that we don't trade futures. I mean, you and I do, but you know, most listeners don't. Let's stick on the equity side of it. So I would start with a couple of ETFs. The first one is USO, which basically tracks the futures of crude oil. Before you invest in USO, you have to know what contango and backwardation is
yes.
In terms of futures. Contango, for those who don't know, contango is when futures are progressively higher. So let's say crude oil is at 80, like August is at 82, then September is 84, and so on and so forth. That's called contango.
Yeah, it's an
If
upward curve.
upper curve, exactly. Backwardation is the exact opposite of it. So they're lower and lower. So we have to know where it is. If it's contango, it's going to put a pressure on that ETF. So let's say you invest in kind of a longer term. It's kind of like being invested in, I don't know, January futures, right? And it's already trading at 90 something. For example, it's not, but for example. And the crude oil is at 80, so it's a premium of near, 10% or more. So therefore, over the course of that next 6 months, you're going to lose that 10%. So if it's contango, it's not a good idea to be invested in USO because there's always a pressure. Right now, it's in backwardation, which is a good thing. So futures are slightly progressively lower, so there will be no pressure on USO. In fact, it's going to help the USO. So I would say when the situation is like this, I would put 20% or so into the USO. So you invested in crude oil. I wish it was a little lower. I know it's just ran from 70 to 80, but I would still put about 20% of the portfolio in this. So I'm invested in crude oil because I'm bullish the commodity. Another thing that could help is I'm a little bit bearish on the dollar. And right now, dollar is doing fine, but I think the second half of the year, dollar will probably decline. We'll have a correction. That'll help commodities as well. And the first two that benefit are, precious metals and energy. That would be the start with the U.S. I would start about 20% is USO.
Okay, let me comment on that. So I wrote 20% and USO, and I'm glad you brought up backwardization and Tango, and I have a few questions to you about that. Wouldn't contango be in the futures market? Wouldn't that be bullish for oil, though, oil prices?
I looked at I studied that and I didn't find much correlation. I've seen both. Usually, what the conventional wisdom says, yes. So it means for the future, we're pricing in higher prices. Higher oil prices. But when you look historically, and it's not really the case. I've seen crude oil going up when the backwardation is, when there is a backwardation. So there is no statistical significance, as far as I know.
So let me put a warning to USO from experience. I traded it when it was in contango and I was long. And I got out flat. But as you said, I mean, I was down about 10% for most of the trade. And I didn't, and this was years ago. And I think it was with you, but right in the beginning, maybe right after you. But I didn't
I
know
think
much about
we
the
were
ETF.
invested in it. I remember a long time ago.
Yeah, but I just remember the ETF. And I bought it myself. It wasn't with you. I think it was right after you. And I didn't realize the backwardization and the contango issues, or I guess how they affected it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
And
we
it's
just have to be
good.
aware of it.
Yeah, you need to be aware of it. So all of our listeners and viewers, and if it's in backwardization, that's bullish for USL.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, it is.
Yeah.
So right now it's sort of backward, sort of, not steep.
Slow, yeah.
So it means it's good. When it's a huge contango, huge backwardation, an ETF like USO becomes more like a shorter term trading product rather than
Yeah,
investment product. But
you're
when,
arbitraging it, right?
yeah, you're kind of arbitraging it, or just all right, I'll trade it for a few days, a few weeks, something like that. But when there is no huge contango, and in case there is none right now, it's a good investment product. But even let's say you buy it today, keep an eye on that contango backwardation. You don't have to look at it every day, but once a month, just look at the curve so you're not going to get caught in this, and things change. So,
Got it. Okay, so we're 20% long crude.
right. And the other ETF that I would do that represents a commodity is natural gas. It's UNG. Very similar to USO. I mean, natural gas cannot just get out of its own way. I mean, it's still cheap, and I don't understand why it is so cheap. So again, contango and backwardation plays a role. Right now, there is contango. So I would still invest in it, but I wouldn't put more than 10%. So just have an exposure to the commodity.
Good. So, let me again, comment about natural gas, if you would.
Natural gas.
Yeah, so I like natural gas here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dirt cheap like it was, but it's still mm-hmm. relatively cheap. You're going into the winter, so it should be bullish. It should have that should be wind at its backs, if you would. And then you also have a lot of this hasn't resolved. I mean, this whole war in Ukraine and Russia and Europe supplying Europe with natural gas. Now, it wasn't as bad as we thought it would get.
Right.
A lot of that had to do with us exporting natural gas over there. But that all being said, there's still pressure, upwards pressure because of all of that. So I agree with you. I really like natural gas in here.
Yeah, there is geopolitical pressures, especially what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, because they're the biggest provider. If that situation is not resolved, there is an upper pressure on natural gas. So 10% is not a huge allocation, but I think it's a good allocation. I think I would definitely have it.
Okay.
So we got about a third of a portfolio in commodities themselves. So USO, UNG. And but right now, the heaviest part of the portfolio should be in energy equities and diversified between different ETFs. What's interesting is, and I'll show you the chart before we discuss them. Let's see if it works, because they're usually a challenge with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So on top of the chart, the green bars is XLE. That's a major ETF. Sector energy sector ETFs. It contains the biggest and the brightest companies. So ExxonMobil represents like a quarter, like 25%. And you got your Chevron and all those guys.
I'm a big fan of the big players, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. They are diversified. They invested in alternatives and in oil and gas and just about everything. So they're everywhere. And they're not expensive at all. They're trading at P's like 10, 12, some of them 14.
Very reasonable.
It's very reasonable. So, So what we're looking at here, the chart is XLE on top. And in the middle, those, I don't know, yellow, I don't know what, whatever color that is. It's USO, so the crude oil itself. On the bottom, the blue line is the ratio between them. It's kind of like one divided by the other. And you can see right here, it actually went down. So the crude oil rallied, but the equities didn't. So they're still sitting kind of on the bottom. So one of them is wrong. In other words, if it was a hedge fund, it would be an arbitrage. So you'd be, it has nothing to do with the portfolio that we're discussing, but I would be long XLE and short USO.
Sure. Yeah.
Straight, but for the portfolio's sake, it gives me more confidence in XLE because crude oil at $80, those companies are making a lot of money and they're still cheap. So XLE, I would put 20% in it, or roughly 20%. That should be the biggest holding. They're the biggest and the brightest and they're making money and there are no problems whatsoever and nothing's going to stop them. So right now, we're about 50% of the portfolio with those ETFs. Now let's do a few smaller ones. They're still energy related. One of them is OIH.
OIH.
Keep in mind, it's a volatile one. They can. It's normal for them to go 5% up or down on any day. So it corrected. It had a huge bear market, lasted several years, and it went down nearly 90%. No reason whatsoever.
Don't trade that on margin.
Yeah, don't trade that on margin. Exactly.
Can you put up a chart on that, OIH?
Yeah, just a second. Let me find it.
And also, let me add to with XLE. XLE is optionable.
Oh yeah, very liquid. very liquid options, and we'll discuss options later, like we did with gold. OIH is optionable, and all of them are optionable, and the liquidity is there, so it's easy to get in, easy to get out.
So those that three, what we just said, optionable, liquid, well, two and liquidity. Those are very two key points. So I really, as Dennis says, just for our listeners' sake, we love trading options, and we do it to generate income and to hedge.
Yes, absolutely.
So they
have to be liquid. So, you know, the phrase when, you know, something is not liquid, you don't want to trade by appointment, as they say on Wall Street. So you can get out here, just a click of a button, and, you know, anyway.
And you don't want to be the market.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is OIH. This is, it has bottomed back in 2020 and it's rallying back. It's doing fine. It's correlated to XLE, but they have different components. So the biggest one, I believe, is Halliburton and Schlumberger. So those are kind of different. There's more service companies, and everything I look at, all the components, they're mostly domestic in the United States. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. The average PE and OIH was looking single digits, really. Other than very few stocks that are expensive, everything else is cheap. They're doing quite well. They just corrected a little bit. Let me show. Let me zoom in on the chart. So we just corrected a little bit from 350 to about 300, trying to rally again. I don't see any problems whatsoever. It can correct a little bit more over the course of the next month, but the correction is not impulsive from a technical standpoint. Basic indicators are fine. Volatility is fine. This one, put 10% in it. I think it's very important.
Yeah.
And this one, if this one takes off, oh my God, it takes off.
Yeah.
So you start rallying like 5% a day. But yeah. I don't know when. I think second part of the year. So,
yeah. So about OIH, I love oil sector service stocks, and that's exactly what this is.
Right.
It does give you leverage when oil is bullish. It's kind of that idea is like during the California gold rush, who made all the money? It wasn't the miners. It was the people fixing the mines and selling the services and products to the miners.
Yeah, shovels, as they say, just literally.
Exactly.
Buckets of shovels, yeah.
And that's what this is right here. That's what you're doing. You're buying a company that's selling services and product that oil companies need to get oil out of the ground. So I love these kind of sectors. It's kind of cyclical, like oil, if you would, and it's also very volatile. So when it's bad, it's really bad.
Yes.
Just so everybody knows. But that being said, I have a large affection for oil sector service stocks.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent product, and I recommend 10%. But you can put it. But the reason I would actually put more, but 10% is because it's volatile. So if you're risk averse, if it goes down, it goes down. It hurts. Yeah. So.
And about that is you're going to get a really good option premiums on these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another subject we're going to talk in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Is that's the first one I would sell puts on because they are expensive. So you get paid very well.
Yeah.
The third one is XOP. So it's kind of similar to XLE. So it's a combination, but they're more of a they're smaller stocks.
Smaller caps,
Smaller caps. They have big ones too, but smaller allocations to bigger ones. So it's another diversification and a very nice one. The chart is, I assume, is similar to OIH. It just corrected a little bit. Might correct a little bit more. Nothing wrong with that. Another 10% should be there. I absolutely love it. And so that's where we are now. Let's not forget the alternative energy and nuclear and uranium and things like that.
Yeah.
So you want to have an exposure to that. And there's similar ones. One of my favorite one is NLR.
MLR.
NLR. Yeah. Nancy.
Nancy.
London. London Roger. Yeah. It's mostly uranium and nuclear. A lot of them are foreign stocks, and some of them are domestic. This one is actually doing very well. It's not correcting much. It corrected a little bit, but look at this chart. It's doing much better than crude oil equities. It's been a steady bull market. It's fairly priced. It's reasonably volatile. So options are not, I know it's optionable, but they're not liquid. So as far as I know, so let's forget about options. Just allocate 10% to this one. It's doing very well. I see nothing wrong with that. It's the future is there, and I think it should be. There's some electricity stocks there as well, and things like that. So we should be invested in
So let
it.
me go ahead
And
and talk about this.
yeah, a couple more ETFs that
Well, let
I
me
would.
talk about NLR for a second. So this is an ETF I'm not familiar with, but from what you told me, it's primarily nuclear. I love the idea. If you look at it, and I love the idea of uranium, I love investing in uranium. If you look at that chart, and then if you were to lay a chart of uranium over this, you almost have an identical chart. So this stock, this ETF tracks uranium very, very well. Now, one of the complaints I've gotten from, or I've heard from investors and in the junior space is uranium's moved, but my stocks haven't moved. The problem, your problem is either you picked the wrong stock or you're playing the junior market, which hasn't reacted the way it should have with the bigger caps. Well, this eliminates that problem.
It does.
So what you're doing is you're buying bigger cap uranium stocks. They don't have the risk. They have, and you're still getting the exposure. Now you don't have the upside as a small junior company, granted, but you're going to participate in what I believe is a long-term bull market to uranium. So,
Yes, absolutely.
well done.
And in fact, a product like NLR eventually will outperform uranium. I'm not sure if it's outperforming now. It's kind of highly correlated, but those stocks have such a bright future. I mean, they're making money as well right now, but such a bright future that if uranium continues to go up or at least stay at the same level, these companies will keep making money and this particular product goes up. And I absolutely agree with you that you don't have to research or, like you said, maybe you put your money in the wrong small stock. So and that rally, maybe something's wrong with that particular. It's idiosyncratic risk, not a systemic risk. So we
So
avoid.
about these companies making money, I interviewed Justin Hahn about a week and a half ago with Uranium Insider. And he had some great insight into that, is that this chart right here is not reflective of the profits of this last run-up. The uranium companies, they've all written agreements and they've all made contracts that have taken them up really until now, the past couple of even into the future. So really where the big money is going to be made with these companies is the renegotiating and the re-upping of all these contracts at these higher uranium prices.
Interesting.
So that should make investor, use an investor, very bullish or very interested in putting money in safe large cap uranium stocks. So just my 2 cents.
It's a wonderful ETF. Be careful with that as far as liquidity, because it's not a new product, but it's not as popular. So forget options about them. So, but they sometimes trade only like 50,000 shares a day.
Yeah,
But that's
it's
fine. I mean, you can
big.
still get in and out easy because you're not trading it every minute. So as far
Right.
as NLR is a wonderful, wonderful ETF. So right now we're probably at around 70 to 80%.
Yeah.
There are a couple more that I like ETFs. We have to be in alternatives, whether it's solar or anything like that.
Wind, yeah.
Yeah, there are two of them, and they've been struggling lately, but I mean they're getting cheap. One is called TAN, TAN. That's pure solar. The other one is ICLN, just alternative energy, solar plus whatever. So let me take a look at the chart. There's 10, and it's been struggling. So,
Yeah.
and then I kind of think it's enough of struggle. So I know that alternative kind of like it was very hot and then it got kind of cold. So, but the future is still bright. And it's not just competing. Like a lot of people don't, they think it's like this is crude oil and this is alternative and they hate each other. No, it's not true. ExxonMobil and all the biggest ones, they are invested in the same thing. They are investing more and more in alternative. Plus, you know that a lot of governments pushing it, so they can only push it so far, but it helps. And it's not just the governments and versus big oil. No, big oil is in it. Big oil understands that they have to diversify, and they're in it. So it's been out of favor. It's getting the PEs getting really cheap. I think it's a wonderful time to get in. It's trading at, with 41.65. That's longer term. See, it's kind of been in the bear market for the last 2 years. I think it's enough. I think it's enough.
It looks like it's forming a bottom there too.
It's been going doing nothing for the last 6 months. Fine. Especially now it's at lower part of that range. Why not? Why not put them all the 10%? Either this one or the other one is ICLN. A lot of alternatives plus some electricity, almost similar chart. Very liquid as well, just like TAN. So either one or the other, you can do like 5% of one, 5% of another. So,
Got it.
and that's where we are. That's where we're close to, let's say 90%. You know, not the exact numbers, nothing like that. But and right now, all those ETFs that I mentioned are at an attractive prices. So I would put money in them right now. Like in case of gold, we talked about last week, I would keep a little bit more cash because gold might correct a little bit more. And you want to keep your powder dry and say, oh, okay. So like, oh, I wish I had more money. In this case, I would put a lot into these ETFs. So it's okay to have like 80, 90%. Plus, pick your favorite individual stocks. But I wouldn't put money because of those ETFs, they're well represented, those big stocks are well represented in them. So I wouldn't put more money in Chevron or Exxon on top of that. But there are several stocks, just like you mentioned, especially in the service, oil service sector, that are wonderful. So you can pick and put maybe 2 or 3% there. I'll give you just one example. It's called Pump, you know, like pumping oil. Easy to remember. It's a Texas company. So they do
It's cheap.
hydraulic fracturing. They just complementary services. They're trading at PE of like 11. Wonderful management. Very steady company. They're trading at 8.55. See that top at 16? That's where we're going over the next year or two. This is just an example. There's so many of them, and I was just researching them, and I think we're just going to bore our listeners with like one after another after another. So look at some smaller ones, that lower PE, steady chart, good volume, nothing wrong with that, and a little bit undervalued, so it came in. So Pump is one of them. So I like a lot of others. For example, I like Halliburton. It's a bigger one. Again, thank you for the correction. I'm gonna get it. Things like that. Low PE, great management, nothing's wrong. What's up? Let's go up. They're gonna go up. Not immediately, but they're gonna go up. That's where we are. And let's talk about options a little bit. I mean, for those who listen to us last week as far as gold is concerned. The best strategy, a simple strategy, is to sell puts if you want to own an asset. I mean, we're repeating what we were talking about a week ago. So selling puts as a trader is not a good idea. So naked puts, I mean, if you don't want to own the asset. But if you do, then sell it out of the money, at the money or out of the money put. Especially on a product like OIH, where options are extremely expensive because the stock is volatile. Let's say, okay, let's take a look at OIH. It's trading at 315. Maybe sell like 280 put or 290 put, maybe August or whatever the cycle they have, like July, August, September. If it gets there, if it goes down, You're going to own it at lower prices. Thank you so much. Great. If it never goes down, then it goes straight up. You're going to get like 5 or 10% of whatever option you suggest for waiting. So
Yep.
I think right now that's what I would do. Especially on OIH and a couple of others. Make sure it's every option, for those who don't know, it's 100 shares. So
yep.
Some of them are, you have to have money for this, you know, trading at 315, 100 shares, that's a lot of money.
My guess is out in August, if you sold the August put, you'd probably be making anywhere from 3 to 5%. That would be my guess.
Oh, yeah, if it's close to the money. Yeah, yep. Just waiting.
Just selling options, selling the put on something that you want to own. So, and
absolutely.
Then the reverse is once it gets put to you, or if it gets put to you, which is what you want, then you just turn around and sell the call.
Sell the call, especially on the rally. We were talking about it. Usually sell calls and, my investment is overbought a little, right?
Yep.
So it's not that maybe I'm getting nervous. Maybe it's like, too expensive. Let's sell some calls, you know.
Yep.
Maybe. So if it corrects, okay, you're losing money on the correction, but you're compensating it by the call. So
yep.
A little bit, you know, not everything. It's not necessarily a hedge, but that's
yep.
I would do. So that's, did I stop sharing? Let me see.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So that's basically the portfolio. We're close to 90%. Right now, it's a good time to invest. Plus, if you find, and we can discuss later, we're going to be talking about it later, about more individual stocks.
Yeah.
At some point. So, but that's where I would be. If you want to invest in energy, these combinations of those ETFs primarily, it's a wonderful diversification. We basically cover just about every energy aspect.
Yeah. And what's great, what I like about energy again too, I think this is an assumption. I think we go on the low end of the cycle, if you would. So that portfolio that we just shared should really outperform the market.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like, you know, people ask me, are you invested in technology, right? Yeah, of course I am. But I'm nervous as hell.
Sure.
Because it's ridiculous how expensive it is. And the market will rotate.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's going to go down or up, but it will rotate. And that rotation could start, any minute. I mean, it's really,
yep.
really close because although, you know, the Magnificent Seven stocks, they're wonderful companies, but they're expensive as hell. It's just, I don't want to be invested in them. It's like,
yeah,
Mercedes is a great car for $100,000. I'm not going to pay $1 million for it. You know, it's still a great car, but
yeah,
same with technology. When we're talking about energy, it's the exact opposite. It's so cheap. Everything is doing well. The commodity is doing well. We got geopolitical risks. They always exist now, even more so. Yeah, it's going to outperform, I believe, the next 6 months, maybe sooner than that.
Yeah, that's one of my theses is going into the second half of the year. Dennis, any parting thoughts or words of wisdom for our listeners?
I think we covered pretty much everything, not everything, but the basics of the portfolio and energy. Let's talk about the stock market in a day or two. So,
okay.
And going maybe into details of more individual stocks and energy next time we meet.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dennis.
I appreciate it, Andy, always.
Yep. Have a good night.
You too.